Welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. This is a podcast that's aimed at the heart of women who love being a mom. Or maybe it's for those of you who wish you were a mom. You're just aching to be a mom, but it hasn't happened to you yet. This is a podcast that's going to be for those of you who are empty nesters. You wish you could do it all over again, and your heart is still turning toward that singular occupation and calling known as motherhood. This is a podcast for those of you who are in the trenches of motherhood. Your daily life is about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, about potty training, about driver's permits. It seems like you are mired every day in the sludge of what being a mom is all about. Hi, welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. This is your friend and your host, Carol McLeod, and I'm so glad that you've joined me this week as we talk about the joys and the challenges that motherhood brings to all of us. As you know by now, I am the mother of five. I actually have five children on earth and five babies in heaven. I am mother-in-law to four incredible adults, and I am Marmy, or grandmother, to my seven wonders of the world, seven grandchildren, ages right now, 3 through 10, and I just eat up every chance I can to be with them. But this podcast, The Joy of Motherhood, is aimed at mothers in all seasons of life. We cover different topics, different challenges that motherhood brings into our lives. Some days we're just painfully practical and we hunker down in the meat and potatoes of motherhood. And other times it's more of a philosophical or a theological discussion about what motherhood brings to our lives. And we're currently in a series where we are looking at moms in the Bible, and we're wringing the truth out of their lives. Listen, I believe that the Holy Spirit strategically chose each story to put in the Word of God. And so those stories that are in there, those historical accounts of motherhood, are in there for us, that we can gain wisdom and encouragement from the life stories of these women who have gone before us. So that's what we're doing. We're looking at moms in the Bible, and we're learning from each one of their lives. But before we go any further today, let's cover the question that a young mom by the name of Sarah has sent to me. This is what Sarah said. How can my husband and I get alone time? It seems like the kids fill every corner of our lives, and yet I still want to be with my husband. Can you give me any tips about how to make that happen? Well, Sarah, that is a great question. And for those moms who are listening today who are young moms, your kids are between the ages of newborn and 12 years old. Having time with your husband is really a challenge, isn't it? But all I can tell you is this: make it a priority. Listen, we make room for the things in our lives that matter. If getting a pedicure matters to you, you make time for it. If getting exercise matters to you, you make time for it. If cleaning your kitchen cupboard matters to you, you make time for it. And so carve out times with your husband. You know, if money is the issue, one thing you can do is trade kids with another friend and say, hey, this week I'll watch your kids so you and your husband can have a date. And next week, would you watch my kids? I think it's especially important to celebrate anniversaries, the anniversary of when you met, when you got engaged, when you got married. And so those nights need to be set aside so that you have quality time together. Listen, your kids need to see that mom and dad are the priority in this family. Your kids want to know that you love each other and that you value each other. You know, for my husband and I, it was mostly money was the reason we couldn't have dates. And so we'd go for a walk in the park. We'd go out for a cup of coffee together. We would drop the kids off at the in-laws or at my parents' house or at a good friend's house just so that we could walk in the mall together and talk and spend that time together. So, Sarah, I think all I want to say is you'll make time for the things in your life that are important. So make time for your husband. Let him know that he is number one in your life and you will never regret it. Well, before we dig into our topic today, I always like to take the time to just share with you a little bit about my ministry and what's going on there. I run a ministry for women called Just Joy Ministries. And my heart is to really help women live well this side of heaven, no matter what season of life you're in. Some of you know I dealt with a season of deep, dark depression in my life, and the Lord really helped me overcome that season with the principles found in the Word of God. Now, I know there are different kinds of depression. I want to tell you, I did go to my doctor, was under a doctor's care for many years. I did see a Christian counselor, and they helped me tremendously. But in addition to those things, in addition to medicine and counseling, I also found comfort and a life strategy in the Word of God. So that's my voice in your mental health equation, is finding a sister who turns you time after time after time to the principles found in the Word of God. And so that's what my ministry is all about. And I just want to encourage you that one of the things I do is write books. I write books concerning getting through the hard things in life, about motherhood. I've got a great Christmas devotional out. I have books out about the way you think, your tongue. And so go to my website and you're going to find a book that fits what you're going through. And while you're at it, you might want to get a copy for a friend. But one of the things I did want to tell you about today is I do have a book out specifically for moms called Pass the Joy, Please. The subtitle is Passing the Joy of Motherhood from Generation to Generation. And so it's a devotional book that really helps moms in different seasons of life just wring the joy out of an ordinary day. We also, to go along with that book, have an accompanying set of scripture cards. And these scripture cards are for moms. They're laminated. They're on a key ring, so you can attach them to your keys, or you can put them on the bathroom mirror or on the dashboard of your car with one of those little suction cups, because it really is the Word of God that gives us the power and strength to get through an ordinary day. So I hope you'll go to my website and take a glance or two at what we have there. But now it's time to start today for our podcast, The Joy of Motherhood. So let's dig in together. Today, we're going to look at a woman in the Bible whose name was Hannah. And Hannah was barren. She didn't have any children. Year after year after year had gone by, and still, Hannah had no babies. Now, during this time period of infertility, her husband, Elkanah, had taken another wife, which, as you know, was never God's way, but it was not uncommon at this time in history. So let me read to you from 1 Samuel 1, because there's great truth in this chapter today for all of you who are moms. Now, there was a certain man from Ramathaim, Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And Elkanah had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord there. And when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. So Elkanah was a good guy. He loved the Lord and he was kind to both of his wives and to his children that he had borne by Penina. He went up to sacrifice to the Lord yearly and he was a generous man. But unfortunately, Elkanah had bought into the ways of his culture. He had compromised, and when Hannah couldn't give him children, he had taken a second wife. You know, moms, let me just tell you this. Whenever we give in to the ways of our culture, it's only going to bring pain. It's never going to bring profit. It's never going to bring peace into the family home. We live in a time in history when our culture screams really loudly at us, doesn't it? But as the people of God, we must be very, very careful not to give in to the ways of our culture. You know, I had a young mom write to me recently, and she said, "Carol, my 8-year-old daughter wants a cell phone. What should I do? She tells me that I'm mean and I don't understand and that all her friends have cell phones." And I said, "Well, first of all, you're not mean. You're actually kind not to give her one. Just because everybody else has a cell phone doesn't mean that your little girl needs a cell phone." Don't buy into the ways of the culture. Moms, don't do it just because everybody else is doing it. Make the standards for your family life based on the word of God. You know, Elkanah apparently had become impatient with the Lord, and he'd made a decision based upon his culture. In his culture, it was acceptable to have a second wife, but that was never God's way. You know, in our culture, there are things that are acceptable as well. There are video games that are acceptable. There are movies that are acceptable. There are books that are acceptable, but that doesn't mean they're right in your home. So the first lesson we learn from this family of Elkanah and Penina and Hannah is don't make decisions based on the culture. Make decisions based upon the principles found in the Word of God. Got it? Got it. 1 Samuel 1, 6 and 7. Hannah was the loved wife. Elkanah gave her a double portion. Let's read about Penina. Verse 6. Her rival, however, would provoke Hannah bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. And it happened year after year, as often as Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, that Penina would provoke her. So Hannah wept and would not eat. So this Penina, she was a work. Let me tell you, she was mean as a snake. She provoked Hannah bitterly. You know, this happens in the best of families, doesn't it? That there's one family member who's just mean, who's just contrary, who's just ordinary. And this one person can cause great friction in a family. And as we read this story of Hannah and Penina, I believe that it's going to reveal to us a strategy of how to treat those people in our lives who just bring pain into the family. You know, let me just tell you this. The mistake that most of us make with these irregular, dysfunctional people in our lives is that we allow them to bring out the worst in us. Isn't that true? When I'm with some difficult people in my family, that's when I say things I wish I wouldn't said. That's when I do things that I wish that I wouldn't have done. But you know what? Maybe the Lord allowed these people to be in our lives to bring out the Jesus in us rather than the worst in us. So for all the Peninas in your life, my friend, let them bring out the Jesus in you, not the worst in you. It's at that moment in life when the fruits of the Holy Spirit should kick in. It's at that moment in life when you have to remind yourself what love really is, that love is patient and kind and is not easily provoked. It's at that moment in life when you have to allow your patient muscle to be strengthened. So, if there's a difficult person in your life, don't let them bring out the worst in you. Let them bring out the Jesus in you. 1 Samuel 1, verse 8. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? I have to tell you, I like this man. I like Elkanah. He's kind. He's trying to understand his wife's heart pain. Verse 9. And then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Do you know what this tells me? Verse 7 says that she couldn't eat. And then her husband was kind to her. He said, honey, don't weep. Don't be sad. I love you so much. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? And it says, then Hannah rose after eating. You know, it's amazing what human kindness can do to help us deal with our pain. And so, you know, as wives, we all want our husbands to be kind to us, don't we? Well, have you ever tried being kind to your husband? Have you tried being kind to your husband when he's sad, when he's discouraged, or when he's frustrated? My friend, you can do it. Human kindness goes a long way to change somebody else's life. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And Hannah, being greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. So what did Hannah do with this human pain? What did Hannah do with this disappointment? She went to the temple. She took it to the Lord. My friend, this is a great lesson for all of us. When we're impatient, when we're frustrated, when people have not treated us well, what should we do? We should go to God. You don't need to go to a friend. You don't need to spew it out on Facebook. Please don't put it on Facebook. Take it to the Lord. Get on your knees, lift your hands in the air, and take your human pain to the Lord. Take your frustration, your disappointment, and the pain over the way other people have treated you. Take it to the Lord. Don't put it on social media. Go to God. He is the only one who can heal your pain. And Hannah made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, I'll give him back to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Now it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli the priest was watching her mouth. And as for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. There are some theologians that believe that in this verse, Hannah had prayed so long and so hard that she had literally lost her voice. Mama, let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you prayed so hard and so long that you lost your voice? Are you that kind of prayer warrior? Count me in. I want to be that woman. I want to be a Hannah. I want to be a woman who prays so long and so hard over the circumstances of my life that I literally lose my voice. Will you do it? Listen, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't throw in the towel on your prayer life. History belongs to those who pray. And in this moment, on this day, history belonged to Hannah. So many of us pray just short little 1 minute, 2 minute prayers. We pray once a week and think we're really giving it all we've got. Sister, get on your knees before the Lord. Cry out to the Lord and pray until you lose your voice and see what God will do for your family. And Eli, of course, he misunderstood it. He thought she was drunk. He said, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. You know, people who pray have never been understood. This is not the only time in Scripture that somebody who prayed was accused of being drunk. Think what happened in the first few chapters of Acts. You know, prayer warriors are not always understood, but we pray on. We pray anyway because we know that history belongs to us. Listen, if you're a prayer warrior, if you're a woman who will pray until she loses her voice, you have more power than the White House does, than the United Nations does, or than Congress does, because history belongs to those who pray. And Hannah replied, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. And she went on and said to Eli the priest, do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I've spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. And Eli answered her and said, go in peace, Hannah, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away, and her face was no longer sad. You know, when you cry out to God in prayer, God will send somebody to encourage you. In this moment, God sent Eli the priest to encourage Hannah, the desperate woman. And do you see what he said? Eli said, Hannah, the God of Israel is going to grant you the petition you have asked of him. He said, Hannah, whatever you're praying for, God is about to answer your prayer. Verse 19. And so Hannah and Elkanah arose early in the morning, and they worshiped before the Lord. So their circumstances had not changed. Peninnah was still being mean, and Hannah still didn't have a baby. But what did Elkanah and Hannah do? They worshiped the Lord. Mama, this is such good advice for you. Worship the Lord before your circumstances even change. Your husband still may not have a job. Your kids might still be acting like crazy people. Your mother-in-law still might be the Peninnah in your life. But you can worship the Lord even before anything has changed. Worship the Lord before your circumstances change and see what God will do for you. So they rose early in the morning and they worshiped before the Lord, and they returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Listen, I want to speak specifically to those of you who are dealing with infertility today. I want you to take the life principles from Hannah's story and apply them to your personal life, because the God of Hannah is the God of you. Take your concerns to the Lord. Pray until you lose your voice. Worship the Lord before your circumstances ever change. You know what I believe? I believe that worship is the best fertility drug known to mankind. Worship is a key to every healthy delivery. And it came about in due time, verse 20 says, after Hannah conceived, that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Now this boy Samuel was born into a very dark time in Jewish history. He was actually Israel's last judge. Samuel anointed the first two kings of Israel, David and Saul. You know what? Hannah's cry to have a baby was not just about personal satisfaction or personal fulfillment. Hannah's cry to have a baby was about changing history. Do you remember what I said? History belongs to those who pray. Hannah had a little boy who loved God enough to do the right thing. These are the words of Hannah found in 1 Samuel 1, 27 and 28. For this boy I have prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I have asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord in that place. Do you know the rest of Hannah's story? Do you know that when Samuel was weaned, that Hannah took him to the temple and left him there? So we can only imagine that Samuel was probably between 3 and 5 years old when Hannah, the mom who had cried out for a child, took her little boy and left him at the temple. She gave him to God because she had promised the Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. But you know what the Lord did for Hannah, because she had kept her part of the agreement. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21 tells us, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 more sons and 2 daughters, and the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. When we give our children to the Lord, now the Lord's not asking any of us to drop our kids off at church and never pick them up again, but He is asking us to give our kids to Him, to trust our children to the saving and the keeping power of God Almighty. And when you do that, when you make decisions based upon the Word of God rather than upon your culture, I can tell you this, Mom, God will bless you and give you more than you could ever ask, dream, or imagine. Your children are not about your personal fulfillment, but your children are about bringing the power of Jesus Christ to your culture. You know, I believe for those of you who are listening today, you're raising the next Samuels of this generation. Raise your children as voices of righteousness in a very dark world. Teach them to worship in spite of what's going on in the world today. When Samuel was just a little boy, he heard the voice of God and he worshiped the Lord. You know, we're so concerned about making sure that our kids know how to play soccer and get all A's and score well on the end of the year tests. But have you ever thought that the most important deposit you can put in your kids is you can teach them how to worship and how to hear the voice of God? That's the most important thing you can ever do for your children. Thanks for listening today. Let me pray for you. Jesus, we love you. I pray for every mama listening today. I pray, Father, that you'll put the resolve in her heart to raise the world-changing kids of the next generation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I hope you'll join me next week for the Joy of Motherhood as we continue our study of moms in the Bible. Bless you, my friend. Have a great week in Jesus' name. So thank you for joining me today. Thank you for listening to my story. We're going to have a blast as we discover the joy of motherhood together. And as always, just let me remind you, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at Carol@justjoyministries.com.